Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com.
From hanselminutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 548. In this episode, Scott talks with Patrick Svensson about the cross-platform build automation system known as CakeBuild.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Patrick Svensson. He's the founder of the Cake project, C-Sharp Make, and now a team member because it's turning into quite a popular and big project. Thanks for talking with me today.
Hello.
When did you conceive of the idea of doing a build automation system in the same language that you write your apps in?
Well, it was back in 2014, and I was a consultant at the time, and I was at a client, and I was helping them with test automation, and they didn't have any build automation in place. So I proposed Fake to them, the F-sharp Make, but they didn't want to do that. So after that, I suggested Rake, and they didn't feel very comfortable with Ruby as well. So I was thinking, why not? I mean, Roslyn is here now, and why not throw something together to write those scripts in C-sharp?
There were already, what is that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5 different build systems that work great on .NET. But it's interesting that there's one in F-sharp, and there's one in Ruby, and there's one in PowerShell. And no one had thought about using C-sharp to build C-sharp before.
Well, there actually was some alternatives.
Yeah,
like a Bow build, and there was another one which... And anyway, those were built on the Script.cs platform. And while I must say that I'm a big fan of Script.cs. I think it's a fantastic tool. But I really like this, what can I call it, distribution model that Fake have. That you just download it like a regular NuGet package and you're up and running. And Script.cs requires something like Chocolatey or install something on the build machine itself. So it was more of a question of distribution for me. Otherwise, I would have probably built something upon Script.cs.
Really? Okay, so the idea was use what you already have on the machine to do the job.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, because if you have to go and install Ruby or whatever to get your DSL to work, then it's going to give your boss and your team one more reason to say no.
Yeah, exactly. So I really like this. I was using Fake a lot and before that, and I really like this really lightweight that you have a bootstrapper script that downloads Fake. And yeah, and so... That's more or less the reason why I chose it this way.
Back in 2000 and I want to say 5 or 6, I was using Nant.
Yeah.
Which was XML. And as you know, it was before MS Build, and it worked pretty great. We were pretty happy with it. Were you using anything in that time frame, or were you around in that time frame?
I just started working in that time frame. So I was a junior programmer at an e-commerce company here in Sweden. I don't think we used any build automation at that time frame, but I've used Nant after that. So
Uh-huh. So the thing that I remember about the thing that I remember about NAND that reminds me of cake is this dependency programming model where there's a task that does something, but that task can't complete until another task happens. So you end up building this graph of tasks that are written like little functions independently, but then the NAND, or in this case cake, figures out the order by this directed graph.
Yeah. Build automation systems work like that.
Yeah.
Back to make. So you
thought that was the way to do it. There was no, you didn't do it procedurally and you didn't do it declaratively. So you did it in a procedural directed graph.
Yeah, exactly. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's really easy to compose. Write your build step as like a unit of work.
A unit of work. Cause it's easy to write when you write these individual tasks.
Yeah. And then you say what order they should run and what they are dependent on. And it becomes really intuitive once mm-hmm. you start doing it like that.
But let me ask a naive question that maybe people that are listening might think, what's the difference between me just going and writing a console app that it does my build and something like cake, which is more almost like a DSL, because you're not just saying, here's a collection of functions. You're saying, you're being very prescriptive and it almost doesn't look like C# in some ways.
Yeah. Of course you could do that. In some way, I think that writing a console app that does something is better than have no form of build orchestration at all.
Hmm.
But you would have to push binaries in your source code repository. You probably don't want to do that. And it's not as transparent as a script.
And so these run as scripts then? These are not, you're putting, is it like a .cake file or something?
Yeah, exactly. You have a .cake file mm-hmm. that you just call with the cake.exe. And it will run the script for, it will actually compile using Roslyn or on Windows or mm-hmm. the Mono compiler on Linux and OXX.
Okay.
And we recently ported cake to the core CLR. So in a couple of weeks, you will be able to run it on .NET Core.
Wow. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's competition though?
With other build automation?
With other build systems? Is it friendly competition?
No. I don't think there's, I don't know of any other build orchestration and build automation systems like cake. But if there are any, I'm sure that.
Well, do you think that Fake and Pisaki?
Pisaki.
Do you think that they have come up enough that they are similar, or do you feel like cake has eclipsed them and is now bigger and more reliable, more cross-platform?
No, I think that each of those systems have a place.
Mm.
And if you prefer to write your build scripts, and if you and your team prefer to write your build scripts in PowerShell or F# or Ruby, then I wouldn't use cake. But if you want to write your build scripts in C#, then cake is perfect for you.
I see.
But we don't want people to use cake if they're not perfectly comfortable with it. So there's no competition in that sense. We don't want to.
That's good.
Yeah.
And it sounds like cake isn't saying, you're not saying with cake, don't do MS build. You're saying cake is a build orchestration, not a build system. So you've got tests, you've got builds, you've got to clean up your directory. You need to run your unit tests, do your packaging. It is an orchestration of everything in the language you already happen to be using.
Exactly. And personally, I really like MS Build as well. So,
really?
I like it a lot. But it's not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And MS Build is getting a lot of, I wouldn't call it hate, but a lot of people complaining about MS Build.
It really is.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you really don't want to write your build scripts as, or build orchestration scripts as XML, then Cake might be something for you. But we're not trying to say that don't use MS Build for this or don't use Rake for this. We're saying that maybe Cake is something for you if you want to write your build scripts in C Sharp.
That's very modest.
Yeah, but I mean, there are so many great tools. So
that's cool. There really are.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of tools that one needs to pull together. And it seems one of the nice things about Cake that I noticed immediately is that it supports the tools that you're probably already using. So like another way of looking at it is it's not necessarily, oh, I like C Sharp, I'll use Cake, but it's like I use MS Build, I use XUnit, I use NuGet. Sometimes I use ILMerge. I do my installers with Wix. You know, there's a list of things that I use, and then you've built in support for those things already. So I'm probably doing a poor person's build automation already with batch files and my own little PowerShell scripts. I should probably step up and use Cake because you support the things I support.
Yeah, that's a good reason as well. It becomes, how can I say it? It becomes more maintainable to have to use something like Cake than to use batch files or yeah.
And you've put together there's an example repository up on GitHub, and I will include links to all of the different things that we talk about. And you've got both build, kind of a build.powershell, and then a build.shell script, which is kind of like the bootstrapper, so you can make this work cross-platform, like you mentioned. But it it takes care of, you know, all of the things that one needs. Like you need NuGet, you need a package config, you know, you have to bootstrap your system. But if you just basically start with that example repository, getting started with Cake, I suppose that someone could make their build automated in maybe an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you use something like VS Code, we even have extension for it in the marketplace. So you can install that extension and just press, what is it, Control-Shift-P, I think. And you can say install Bootstrapper. And after you've done that, you only need to create a build.cake file and your set.
So you said that you have a Visual Studio Code plugin. What's the difference, though, between Cake and C Sharp itself? Like, why do you need a plugin? Is it to make the syntax highlighting? But if it's already C Sharp, what's that needed for?
Well, one thing that we don't have at the moment, I must say, is OmniSharp integration. Since Cake scripts are a little bit special, you cannot build it with the normal. You won't get any syntax highlighting and stuff like that.
Okay.
But the extension provides that. And we have started talking with OmniSharp guys about adding Cake support. So maybe in the future we will have that. But other than that, we have some snippets for Cake, like creating tasks and similar, and installing bootstrappers.
This episode of Hansel Minutes is brought to you by Braintree Payments. Why make payment integration more difficult than it has to be? Braintree's powerful full-stack payment platform allows you to accept nearly any type of payment from any device with one integration. It's flexible to your system's needs, supports most programming languages, so whether you're using Java, Ruby, or Python, you'll always have a range of server-side and client-side SDKs available. Braintree makes payments and your job a whole lot easier. You can learn more at braintreepayments.com/Hanselman. That's braintreepayments.com/Hanselman.
So is Cake proper C Sharp? Like, could I go and run CSC on a Cake file?
No, it's, you can look at it like a superset of C Sharp. Like it, so it supports everything that's in C Sharp, but we also added some additional things to it, like special pre-processor directives for installing tools and downloading stuff from NuGet and similar.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean, is there a learning curve though? Because like the sense is, oh yes, it's C#, then you just know it already. But you do have to learn a little bit, yes?
Yeah, you have. And I would like to think that we have pretty good documentation on our site.
No, the documentation, to be clear, I see a lot of open source projects. It's extremely clear and really complete.
Oh, thank you. So if you go to cakebuild.net, there are some tutorials how you get started, and also a section that describes the fundamentals of Cake. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend anyone who wants to start using Cake to read that, maybe take like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't be that much of a learning curve.
So it takes a few minutes to learn, and then you can start extending it. I noticed that you now have a Cake contrib. So other people are adding modules to Cake with support for other bits of orchestration, like, you know, your build could tweet afterwards, or if you're doing iOS apps, you could do a plist serialization, hockey app for, you know, for releasing mobile apps. How much of this is you versus, you know, the community is starting to step up and hear about your project?
I don't know. We have about 50 add-ins at this point, I think.
Wow.
And I've written one of those, and I don't think that Gary and Matthias, who are the other maintainers of the project, I don't think that they have written that many extensions.
Yeah.
So most of them are written by community members. And yeah, it's really fun to see that people are using Cake and publishing extensions for things that they think needs to be supported.
I think that there's a lot of open source projects out there that maybe don't, as we say, catch fire and people get excited about them. A lot of times you'll spend years just by yourself trying to get your open source project to pop. You started this in 2014. How long before you had a community around it?
About a year, I think. People mm-hmm. started to join the Gitter chat and started posting pull requests and issues.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I never imagined that this would be it's not super big, but as big as it is at the moment. But it's really fun.
And did you do anything particular? Like, why do you think why does one open source project like pop and another one doesn't? Is it promotion? Did you have to go out and sell it and market it? Or did it just seem like a good idea and other people said, wow, that is a good idea, I want to get involved?
To be honest, I don't know. I never promoted it.
Yeah.
I mean, more than, you know, you post a tweet that you released a new version or I got this feature now. But other than that, I never really promoted it. But people found out about it and started, people seemed to like it and started sending pull requests and issues and started writing about it. And yeah.
So you said you were kind of alone for a year. People started noticing and getting involved. But now it's not all about you. It's not like the idea that you had. Now it's an idea that everyone shares. You said you have about 50 different add-ins. How many people are doing kind of regular commits to it?
Oh, I don't know, to be honest. There's a lot of...
Looks like 75 total committers.
Yeah. And there's a lot of regular faces showing mm-hmm. up, submitting PRs, but in intervals.
Yeah.
So maybe people who use Cake has a need for something and they submit a pull request and they get it merged
mm-hmm.
and then they don't have the need to submit something more for a while.
Mm-hmm. They have one idea, they need that thing fixed, and then you don't see them again. They don't join the team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's good though. 75 committers in these few short years is a lot of people.
Oh yeah, I'm really happy to see that.
Yeah, I think that for people who are, you know, have an open source project, if I can give you a compliment, looking at Cake and, for example, your README .md has some features that I think people don't always put in their projects. For example, you have a Gitter, you have badges that show your NuGet versions, you have a NuGet that is public and a MyGit that people can opt into for alpha builds. You use Chocolaty, the Windows apt-get system.
Yep.
You publish your homebrew version. You have a clear source browser with sourcebrowser.io. And then you've even got 10 different build servers with your passing and failing rates and a really impressive 73% code coverage as well. So you're using a lot of different cool things in the open source ecosystem, like coveralls.io and source browser, NuGet, MyGit, homebrew. People who want to see what a well-organized project is, frankly, should look at Cake and how you use GitHub to kick off all of these different processes. It's pretty impressive.
Oh, thank you. It makes me happy to hear.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's since we run Cake on so many different systems, there are a lot of different CI servers, and we really want the good code coverage, which you mentioned, and yeah. We also want to actually build Cake on those systems to find any regressions, and we also run integration tests on all servers to make sure that. It works like it should. And it really saved a lot of time for us finding errors and tracking down bugs.
The recently, though, it seems like you got big enough where you needed some additional support. So you joined the .NET Foundation.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What is a foundation? Like, why would you get so big that you need that? And what does a foundation give you that... You know, you can't just do yourself.
Well, I mean, currently we are three people maintaining this. It's me and Matthias and Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have, we have lives. We have work and families and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, people are relying on this system. And maybe we won't be around for, next year. You never know. Maybe,
Yeah, things happen. You might, it may not be around is one thing.
Yeah.
But you might also simply not feel like doing it anymore. Or you might move on. Maybe you become a Node programmer. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
You built something that you want to live longer than you.
Exactly. So we thought it was a great idea. So we submitted a request to the .NET Foundation. And now we're part of it. So, and it's really good to know that if we don't want to do this, hopefully we will. but feels good to know that people who rely on Cake can feel safe.
So when you put it in the foundation, does that make things simpler? Like, for example, who has the SSL certificate for the website? Or, if you're going to strong name something or code sign something, do you then turn that over to the foundation and then the foundation manages that asset?
Yeah, exactly. And they also provide legal support and CLA.
What's a CLA mean? Coder license agreements? See, you make me. I should know. One of those acronyms I always have on my. On the tip of my tongue.
It's
contributor license.
Agreement. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
There we go. So they will do an automatic. So, like, if someone does a pull request, you can keep track of all the legal paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. And they've been a great help with getting this to work, and also general support around the project. So, like I said, legal help and. Everything from stickers to Azure accounts for our CI servers.
I think people don't realize, though, a good, well-organized open source project looks like magic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you go to cakebuild.net, you have a beautiful website, you have clean screenshots, great documentation, you've got a logo, like even just having a logo is like shows that you're in the top, you know, the top of open source projects. Now you're in a foundation, all of this being done as a volunteer. Yeah. In your spare time when the kids and the partners are asleep.
Exactly. Yeah. And, we paid for all those services ourselves, but it's not a long-term solution because, you have to pay for the website and the CI servers. And I mean, that doesn't scale for an individual to pay. So it's really good to have the .NET Foundation behind us on that.
Mm-hmm.
Make everything.
And was that complicated? Like, is there a lot of legal paperwork to do that kind of stuff? I mean, like, how big should a project be? Like, if someone's listening and they're like, yeah, I'm an open source project, I should join a foundation.
To be honest, I'm not sure, but I think that, I mean, .NET Foundation is to foster open source development. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that you have to be that big, but I think maybe if you have a big enough user base and
enough interest.
Yeah, interest. I see no reason for.
So you're just three people, not a company, and you were able to join. So projects big and small might need this. I think really it's more that you were organized more than anything, you know?
Yeah, maybe that's the reason.
Yeah. I mean, you had a great documentation. You had a kind of a governance process, right? You had codes of conduct. You were organized, but you needed a little more, I'm going to make a joke, build orchestration, kind of around the project and, all the better for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's,
Yeah. So where do you think things are going with .NET Core? And it seems like there's an opportunity for Cake to have even more users cross-platform.
Yeah, I think that .NET Core has a very bright future. As for Cake, we already started another project in the Cake organization called Cake.Frosting. pun intended. Which is a layer upon cake that uses the...
It's a layer cake. That's beautiful.
Yeah. That allows you to write your cake script as regular C# applications.
Mm-hmm.
And use the everything that we already have in place. So you get IntelliSense and debugging and stuff like that out of the box, cross-platform.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an alternative to run the... to use the scripting approach.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So are you like the main person now, or are you starting to let other people do more of the work?
No, I would say that it's a democracy at the moment. We're three maintainers, mm-hmm. and we try to, we talk about stuff and we vote about things.
Mm-hmm.
And we also try to listen to the community. As much as we can, and ask them if they have any special opinions
mm-hmm.
about changes and things like that.
Do you find that this is taking up a lot of your time though? Like, you know, you have a job, you have a life, you know, there's kids in the house.
Yeah.
Do you this when everyone's asleep?
Yeah. yeah. When everyone is asleep mostly, and sometimes during lunch or, right now, I'm on a paternity leave, so there's not much time at all for Cake. But Matthias and Gary, they do a lot of the regular work, like pull requests and issues and responding to questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's got to be nice to be able to step aside, though, and know that the project's still going to move forward and not have that pressure of... You know, there's a pull request out there waiting, but there's also a baby in my lap.
Yeah, but what we state that in our documentation as well, in our contribution guidelines, that mm-hmm. we don't have a SLA for pull requests. So, and because we have, I mean, lives outside of cake and the jobs and families. So it can take up to a month for a pull request in worst case scenario, but we will always try to get to it. But this is a side project, so.
Well, it's a pretty impressive side project, and it's pretty cool. Folks can check it out at cakebuild.net. They can also learn about the .NET Foundation. And then do check out the GitHub, the README, all of the organization, all the different projects that orbit and surround Cake Build are really, really cool. Thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Oh, thank you.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.